To our audio visual department. Welcome to each and every one of you to our worship service on this March 31st, Resurrection Day. How many have already had their chocolate this morning? A little bit of chocolate, thank you, Brian. A few honest people out there. Well, good morning and welcome to each and every one. Our regular men and women and boys and girls, welcome here. And family that are visiting with us today, guests, people from our community, we welcome each and every one of you to this worship service. And we look forward to the music of our praise and worship choir, to the reading of the scriptures, and the preaching from our pastor, Pastor Tim Amor. To those who will be listening to the service from our website, or looking at the YouTube video of Pastor Tim as he preaches today, welcome again to our service. Boys and girls, moms and dads, just relax, enjoy yourself. In the bulletin, we are told that we have a quiet room. We have a place for children. If you want something to play with, kids, get something to play with. But this is a relaxed atmosphere. Pastor Tim sets that atmosphere as he leads us this morning. We look forward to worshiping each and every one of us. I've been away for quite a while. But I must say this, the honest truth, I listened to every one of the services while we were away. And last Sunday morning, I was not here, but I listened to the service. And I listened to Pastor Tim as he preached. It's interesting, last Sunday morning, Pastor Tim finished up preaching from Matthew chapter 4, how Jesus called from the shores of the Sea of Galilee. He called Simon Peter, and he called Andrew, he called James, and he called John. He said, I want you to be a follower of me, a follower of mine. And Pastor Tim explained that Jesus was the rabbi. He was the rabbi. And at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, Jesus invited these early followers. And now, 3 years later, in the public ministry of Jesus, we celebrate the resurrection. And we look forward to the message that Pastor Tim will be giving us on the secret gardener. We look forward to hearing that from Pastor Tim. As I read over the scripture that will be read today in the service, I was reminded as I read the scriptures, that when Mary Magdalene asked this supposed gardener on the day of the resurrection, where have you placed Jesus? Jesus, we are told, spoke her name with such a tone, with such a reflection, and with such a level of fondness when he said, Mary. And immediately, her reply, Rabboni. That word Rabboni reveals such a close relationship and a friendship between Mary and Jesus. And then she runs off and she finds a group of the followers and she says to them, as any good preacher woman, I have seen the Lord. Men and women and boys and girls, we're going to pray this morning that when we hear Jesus say our name, we will be able to respond, my dear Rabboni, my dear Savior, my dear Jesus. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for the glorious day that we celebrate, Resurrection Day. And though we have not seen the physical Jesus like Mary did, through the gift of faith, we believe. We hear you, Lord Jesus Christ, as you whisper our name. We love you, Lord. And may our sacrifice of praise, our offerings through song, through prayer, through the reading and the preaching of the scriptures, bring praise and glory to your holy name. For it is in the great name of our Lord and Savior, whom we follow, Jesus, we offer our praise to you. Amen. Let us worship in song.
If you are able, please stand.
Raise your joys and triumphs.
Please be seated.
Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
My name is Tim, and I have the pleasure of serving here as the pastor. What we get to do each week is we get to hear from you if you have any prayer requests, any joys, or announcements you'd like to share. Just please raise your hand, and we'll have a microphone come to you. I thank you for the update on John.
I would like to thank the priests. I think it's the Praise and Worship Committee for the amazing and blessed service that we had on Good Friday. It was the best ever. And I also want to thank the choirs on the Good Friday, and I see they're up there again today. Hooray! And I thank you very much for your service.
Thank you, Margie. Right, well, we will now pray together. If you are uncomfortable sharing those requests, you can also email them in. You can write them on a slip of paper and put them in the little box on the way out, and we would be happy to pray for you. At the end of my prayer here, I'll invite you to pray the Lord's Prayer with me. We'll have that on the screen, and you're welcome to use any language or the words that are most comfortable to you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you that you are kind, that you are loving, and that you are a God who remains near, who comes near to us in the midst of darkness, in the midst of the pain, the death, the violence, the hurt of our world. Lord, have mercy. We pray, Lord, that each person here would be able to experience your love in real ways. Remind each person here again that they are your blessed child, that you love them and you have made them, and you have so much joy that they are who they are as they are. Lord, we pray that you would continue to open our eyes so we can see people as you see them, open our hands as well, so that we may give to others. We recognize, Lord, that everything we have belongs to you. Lord, take what we have to offer in gifts, in our talents, in who we are, and use it to advance your kingdom in word and in deed. And Lord, we continue to pray alongside with John Martin. Lord, we thank you that his rehab has started and that things have gone well so far. But Lord, be with him, be with the doctors, be with those caring, so that he may be able to walk again. Lord, we think of all of the people through the world who are hurting. Sickness, addiction, the violence, loneliness, hunger. Lord, have mercy. Work through your church, your people throughout the world, to bring about your hope and to meet those needs in real ways. Friends, I invite you to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I'd invite any children that are here today to come on up front. Well, hello, hello. Good morning. Happy Easter. I have a question for you guys. Have you had any surprises for Easter today? No surprises at all? You didn't wake up to maybe some chocolate in the house? Maybe an Easter bunny came by? I'm seeing a couple of nods. Anyone want to share? Anything fun? Stephanie, what'd you get? Many squishy little squishmallows, right? I saw them. They're super cute. Marcus?
The Easter Bunny gives us money.
Money. Oh, that's a good surprise. Mason? Do you remember? Do you want me to come back? Okay, I'll come back to you. Veronica?
Goggles.
Oh, swimming goggles. Awesome. Yes, Mason, you remember?
Shampoo.
Very practical Easter. I like this. Well, Easter is one of my favorite days of the year. And as when I was a kid, when I was your age, I always loved the Easter egg hunts and the crafts and the chocolate and the special surprises that you got in your Easter basket. And in fact, I have a basket here with me today that Mrs. Friesen so kindly made for you. And I have a surprise in it for you all. Any guesses? You think chocolate, Stephanie? You also think chocolate? Well, I'm going to read you the story first, and at the very end, I promise I will show you what's inside. Okay, so the Easter story from the Bible that we're learning about today is one that's full of wonderful surprises. In fact, the things that happened are so surprising, they may even be miracles. Do you guys know what a miracle is? Yeah, anyone want to share what a miracle is? It's hard to define, right? So a miracle is something that happens, something completely impossible that happens. And when there's absolutely no way for it to be true, but yet it still is true. And in Easter, there's a lot of miracles for us to celebrate. So today I'm going to recount the Easter story and you're going to help me count the miracles with me, okay? You're going to hold up a finger as we go. Can we do that? Okay. So first of all, and maybe you can guess the biggest one, Jesus, he rose from the dead. After 3 whole days of being dead, he was alive again. I can't imagine a bigger miracle than that. So that's miracle number one. Hold up one finger for me. I only see one finger. I should see like 10 fingers. There we go. That's miracle number one. Okay. Then the next one, Jesus, he chose to suffer and die so that we wouldn't have to, and so that one day we could join him in heaven. I think that's a pretty big miracle of love. So that's miracle number two. Then after Jesus rose from the dead, there was another miracle. Jesus was buried in a small cave dug out of rock, and up close to it, a huge rock was rolled in front. It would take tons of people pushing to get that rock to move. But when Jesus rose from the dead, the rock had moved with no one touching it. That is miracle number three. And then later that day, Mary Magdalene went to visit the tomb. And when they saw that the rock had been moved and Jesus was gone, she was really upset. She thought someone had stolen Jesus' body. But the next time when she looked, it wasn't empty at all. There were 2 angels sitting right there where Jesus has been. Angels. Could you imagine seeing an angel? Okay, so that's miracle number 4. And then at first, Mary didn't understand. She thought that those angels had stolen Jesus, and she started to cry. Mary turned around and was shocked to see someone right behind her. She thought it was a gardener, but it was Jesus. And that is miracle number 5. And these are only 5 of the things that make Easter so special. So today, when you're enjoying Easter surprises, you can remember that the Easter miracles and how much God loves us. All right, let's pray, and then I'll promise you he'll give you a surprise. Dear God, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for Jesus and his sacrifice for us. Help us to love one another. Amen. All right, do you guys want to see my surprise? Okay, come on up. What? No way, you were right. You can have one. Everyone can have one. You have to thank Mrs. Friesen later, okay? Because she's
Morning. Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, titled The Empty Tomb. That's on page 1685 in your Bibles in front of you in the pews, if you want to follow along. I'll be reading verses 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking that he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her.
I feel like we need to start planting lower expectations in our children's stories so the kids don't say things like, "Cold hard cash," is what I got this morning. I did not receive that, nor did I receive any shampoo, which feels a little bit targeted at me. Well, today, I am on your, today we get to celebrate good news. That Jesus has risen from the dead. But this is good news that came at a time of bad news. This is good news that enters into the darkness and catches people off guard. So today, what I'd like to start with for us to remember Easter is to start remembering what it was like for those first people, how they experienced it, this whole week leading up to this penultimate moment. Because on the week of Jesus' crucifixion, he borrows a donkey. He enters Jerusalem to cheers. He turns over tables at the big church, at the temple. He heals the blind and the lame. He confronts and challenges the religious leaders. He is anointed with perfume. He shares a meal with friends, choosing a last meal with those who will doubt, deny, and desert him. He washes the feet of the man who has already betrayed him. His prayer request is denied. He is arrested. As he's being arrested, he heals one of his captors. He is abandoned by his closest friends. He is tried by the religious leaders as a heretic.
and he's tried by the Roman Empire as a revolutionary and found guilty. The crowds, with a choice between him and an insurrectionist, choose to free the violent insurrectionist instead of him. He is abused. He is mocked. He faces all the darkness and evil our world has to offer. On the cross, Jesus asks God to forgive his murderers while they are murdering him. Then Jesus dies. His body is placed in a tomb, and the hope that so many people had in Jesus is dead. This is what it was like to be a follower of Jesus. All of that hope, all of those expectations, all of those things, this kingdom of God message, this new person showing up on the scene who can do these miraculous, unexplainable things. We had so much hope, and look where it's gotten us. Saturday is a forgotten day in this holy week. Saturday is a day of darkness, of pain, of doubt, of grief. Of what do we do now? The followers of Jesus will be in hiding, because you know what happens to the people who follow the person who goes to a cross. They get sent to a cross pretty soon after. What are we supposed to do with this? And you see, the trouble is for us that we want to jump right to Sunday while missing that for most of us and most people through the world, we live in the reality of Easter Saturday, the reality of hopelessness, the reality that the powers of the world are not overcome, that the powers of the world are in fact powerful, and that the powerful seem to continue to get their way without ever having to come to accountability, where the power of death, this stench and pain of death, exists in ways that every person here has been scarred by. Death is a powerful pain that we hold in remembrance of those who are not here with us. And we are reminded again of the power of sin. Not just sin as this thing where I do something wrong or I stub my toe and I say a word maybe that I shouldn't have, but the power of sin that works in institutions, that works throughout our world, that continues to see more bombs and fewer peace. More violence, more switching over to picking up a sword and striking instead of heeding Jesus' message to put down our sword. What do we do in the midst of that darkness? And that is what makes Easter such an important reminder. Because the story doesn't end on Saturday. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one who Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and he looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and he believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Let's hold the story right there and make sure we're not missing some things that are happening. Early in the morning, early at the tomb, this is the first opportunity after the celebration that they've had where you could go and visit the tomb. The Sabbath is over when first light comes. And so that is when we see the disciples of Jesus first arrive. Not the disciples maybe that we expect, because the men disciples are in hiding, and rightly so. You're less likely to be put on the cross as a disciple of Jesus if you're a woman than if you're a man. And then this message comes to them. And they start running. And this is a very human element that's going on in the story, because John is writing this gospel probably last. And he's telling his version of the story. He'll refer to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved all throughout. And he'd like to let you know, as he's let people know for 2,000 years, that he outruns Peter. You heard that Peter went in the tomb first, but I was there first. And then it says this interesting thing that he believes. But what does he believe when he goes in? This faith is stirring inside of him that doesn't quite have words yet, because it says they did not understand. They knew Scripture. They had learned from the best teacher we've had on this planet for multiple years. But Scripture alone, the Bible alone, didn't lead them to understanding. Even Jesus as their teacher didn't lead them to knowing what's going on. And then we're left with this empty tomb, with the disciples going back into hiding, or at least the men, because one disciple stays behind, Mary. The others have left. She doesn't know what else to do. She is overcome with grief, but she knows this is the place she has to go and she has to stay, and so she does, not knowing what's about to happen next. In John 20, 11 through 18. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said. "And I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking that he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." I love the assertiveness of Mary here. Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned around and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher, which now, for my 3 years of expensive education, I can let you know that in the Greek, words are not just single words. This very specifically means my teacher, my rabbi. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me." I love that. We can already see what Mary is doing immediately in seeing Jesus, embracing him. "For I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, the good news, with the gospel for the first time. "I have seen the Lord." And she told them all that he had said to her. See, friends, we see out of darkness, out of the darkness and hopelessness of Saturday, hope has come. Because we get to experience this since one disciple stays behind. Mary, in this version, stays behind, just her. And Mary sees a gardener, but not just any gardener. the gardener. And this gardener will call Mary by name. In one of the other Gospels, it'll specify that he actually calls her in her Aramaic name, her true name. Mary is the Greek. Miriam is her name. And he calls her her name. To which she responds, "My teacher, my rabbi." And from there, Jesus sends her on a mission, which she goes on immediately. We see in this story maybe something that we might have missed otherwise. Mary, accidentally mistaking Jesus for a gardener, maybe shows us something true about what's really going on. That Jesus is the good gardener. And Jesus, as the resurrected one, is already starting to cultivate this new world he's promised. Because way back at the beginning of the story, we know that things start in a garden. And out of that garden, we see sin enter the world. This twisting of all things good. These thorns, these thistles, this death, this selfishness. We see the power of sin affect all of creation and all people. But on the cross, Jesus says, "It is finished," as he breathes out his last breath. Well, what is finished? Jesus certainly isn't finished. But the power of sin, the power that sin has had over the world, has been defeated. The power of evil that thought it had defeated Jesus by killing him instead led Jesus to his victory. Because Jesus was not finished. And I love this imagery of Mary looking out, seeing this person as a gardener, as if Jesus, the resurrected one, the first thing he does is he starts going through that garden area where he is, pulling out a few weeds, pruning a few trees, maybe hopefully staying away from some fig trees, right? We know Jesus doesn't like fig trees. That's a deep cut. If you laughed, you really know your Bible. But Jesus working in this garden, almost like if you imagine someone with a big tilly hat going through, he is dirty with the work he is doing. Because he is bringing up new life, new hope, new earth, out of a place that once only knew death. So what does this mean for us today? Well, we can now have new life. What was once a reality in our world and is still a reality today does not have to have the last word on how we live and who we are. We can have that new life and new hope. And Jesus, just like then, continues to meet us in our grief. You see, resurrection that we hope for, this eternal life that we hope for and we put our hope in Jesus in, that's not just something that we wait for when we die. Resurrection power allows us to live in new ways today. We don't need the power of the resurrection just sometime in the future. We need it today, and that is what the Holy Spirit brings to us. That is what Jesus brings to us, meeting Mary in her brokenness, going to us and meeting us in our brokenness and pain. And in that, we see that Jesus continues to call us by name. The name he calls Mary by, again, or Miriam, he calls her by name in such a way that shows that he knows her. He calls her by name in such a way that she will recognize his voice and know that he is her teacher. And Jesus calls us to his garden, to his new reality, this new world, this new life that is springing up all around us. Wherever you go, there is new life and new hope springing up. Just like with Mary, Jesus calls us to go, to be messengers of that good news, to be able to say what we have experienced and how that will change the experience of others. And Jesus calls us to grow, to come to this new reality, this new hope, and to not leave the same. When Mary went to that tomb, she was already a disciple of Jesus. When she left that tomb, she was no longer the same person. She had been changed. She is able to go and to carry the first gospel message and does so well enough that we are here 2,000 years later. And as we grow, we are called to cultivate. We are called to be gardeners as Jesus was a gardener in this new world, to cultivate that new hope all around us. We get to see this secret gardener. We get to see Jesus as the one mistaken for someone else, but maybe, just maybe, we can recognize that Mary, accidentally perhaps, sees Jesus for who he really is. The one bringing back that hope, that creative power, back to the garden. Not leaving us in a garden, but bringing us to a place of cultivation through the entire world. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Jesus looked death in the eye and said no more. Love has found a way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you, Lord, that you continue to cultivate new hope, new life, new light in those places where we can maybe only see hopelessness, death, and darkness. Give us eyes to see as you see. And Lord, give us hearts to grow so we can love as you love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand for the departing song.
receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May you go knowing that you are loved. Go in God's peace. Amen.